We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk hockey with the guys in the know. It's the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
This is the Florida Panthers Radio Network. This is the Florida Panthers Insider Show, looking back on the week that was and looking ahead to the week that will be for the Florida Panthers. A successful week at home, picking up a couple of victories at the BB&T Center, coming back off the All-Star break. It's been a prosperous period for the Florida Panthers, and they'll be right back in action this evening, taking on the Washington Capitals, which is where we find our friend Doug Plagans, play-by-play voice of the Florida Panthers. Doug, how you doing, sir?
Good morning to everybody out there. We've got a big show planned for everybody here, but the Panthers, of course, one road game here in the middle of a plethora of home games. Going back home tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, to host the Tampa Bay Lightning. So just to let you know what the week coming up here looks like, of course, the Panthers in Washington, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show across the radio network. So be sure to join us for that tonight. And then tomorrow night, quick turnaround, the Panthers will see the Tampa Bay Lightning for the fourth and final time in the regular season. That's going to be a 6 o'clock face-off at the BB&T Center, 5:30 pregame on the radio network, but we'd love to see it. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. And then coming up on Tuesday, the Panthers will welcome in the Dallas Stars for a 7 o'clock face-off. And then Thursday, the Calgary Flames come in at 7 o'clock. And then a week from tomorrow, 7 o'clock Sunday game. So that's how the upcoming schedule looks for the Panthers. A lot of chances to see the Panthers at home at the BB&T Center. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. And with home games coming up, Chris, you know what that means? You can enjoy three new culinary concession stands. Come out to a Panthers home game for the new taste of the BB&T Center, including a brunch option, Smells Like Brunch, a classic chicken option, Check It Out, located in Section 105, and a more spicy option, Taco About It, located in Section 129 and 307. For more information, FloridaPanthers.com. I've sampled items from all three of those locations, the new food locations, and I can tell you everybody's going to find something that they like there. Some very good stuff, some very fun offerings as far as the new food at the BB&T Center. So that's just another reason to come out and see the Panthers take on some big-time opponents coming up here in the next week. But first things first, Chris, we're going to recap the week that was here, and then we're also going to take a look, a deep look, at tonight's game against the defending Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals.
And, Doug, you were just talking about the concession options there. We're going to get to the game against Pittsburgh now. I have hosted more than a few games here across the radio network, but on Thursday, I was at the BB&T Center as a fan, and I partook in all these new culinary options, and I can confirm that they are everything that they are cracked up to be. So definitely get out to the BB&T Center. Again, coming up this week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, the Florida Panthers are at home. But as you mentioned, we got to get to a lot here on the show. Recap the week that was. We get to Henrik Borgstrom, an interview that you guys did for your Territory Talk podcast. We'll be joined by Jameson Olive on the phone and by Ben Raby, who is on the Capitals Radio Network previewing tonight's game. So a lot to get to, but let's go ahead and take a look at the week that was, starting first with the game last Saturday night, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights at BB&T Center. And the Florida Panthers would get that one off to a great start.
We are off and running. Period number one action here inside the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Barkov, a takeaway at center. Couple of Vegas Golden Knights got crossed up. Barkov in shot, and he scores! Top shelf off the bar and in! And the Panthers take a 1-0 lead 12 seconds into the game.
And Doug, before you could even get settled in, the Florida Panthers in front through an unassisted goal scored by Alexander Barkov, his 18th of the year, and the defending Stanley Cup finalists would be 1-0 down after 12 seconds, but they would respond. Max Pacioretty making it 1-1 about 8 minutes into the game from Paul Stratsny, and it would be 1-1 after the first period. After a scoreless second, it would be Mike Hoffman who would regain the Panthers' lead.
Broussard, and he'll backhand now in the clear. Mike Hoffman, a breakaway for the Panthers, heads in, and he scores! Mike Hoffman gives the Panthers a 2-1 lead.
And the newcomer from Pittsburgh, Derek Brassard, will be in on the assist. Mike Hoffman continues to lead the Panthers in scoring. He's got 24 on the year after that goal to make it 2-1 to the Panthers. And then Frank Vatrano makes sure.
There by Ekblad. He'll sky one ahead. A diving Peary kept it in. Bounces to Barkov, though. On to Vatrano, a little out of his reach. And a foot race down to our left. Vatrano to the empty net. He scores! An empty net goal for Frank Vatrano, and the Panthers take a 3-1 lead with 1:16 remaining.
And a solid victory as well from James Reimer, 34 saves on 35 shots. He was the third star on the evening. Mike Hoffman the second. Alexander Barkov with the goal and the assist on that Vatrano goal. Also Ekblad getting in on the assist. And the Panthers put together a solid victory against a solid Western Conference opponent in the Vegas Golden Knights. A 3-1 win over the second-year NHL team. Panthers starting the week off very well. And then on Tuesday night at the BB&T Center, they'd start that game off pretty well as well. Henrik Borgstrom opening the scoring late in the first period against the St. Louis Blues. It would be 1-0 after one. And then Alexander Barkov with a power play goal to lead off the third period. But it would be a St. Louis Blues onslaught, and they would pick up the victory. Colton Perico, Ryan O'Reilly, and Vince Dunn scoring three unanswered goals for the Blues. One with 4 minutes left to play. The Panthers tried as they might, could not summon the response, and the Blues would pick up the victory on Tuesday night. Then on Thursday night, the game that I was at, I was enjoying as a fan. I got to enjoy what was a thoroughly exciting overtime game. It was started with Evgeny Dadonov on the power play.
Trocheck into the offensive end. Far circle, drop pass. Brassard over along the wall, looks out to the right point. A drive from Matheson is wide off the inboard. Back and they score! Evgeny Dadonov with the backhand, and the Panthers have a power play goal and a 1-0 lead.
From Mike Matheson and Derek Brassard. He's got a couple of assists since joining the team and gets the assist against his former team as well. But speaking of former teams, Pittsburgh would go level through Jared McCann, the former Panther, with his 9th on the year. Makes it 1-1 in the second period for Colton Sevier, would give the Panthers their lead back.
Now from behind the net, puck played out to the near point. Yandel, top of the right circle, a shot from Shea and is blocked. And now back 5-on-5. Barkov out in front, has some room. Bottom of the far circle, looks in front, a shot, and they score! Colton Sevier from right out in front, and the Panthers are back on top by a goal.
And that was towards the end of that second period in the game. And then it would be an absolutely fantastic finale. Marcus Pettersson making it 2-2 for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The final 12 minutes, as dramatic as you will see. We go to the 3-on-3 overtime. Again, breakaway chances at both ends. And it would be a defenseman who would seal the victory.
Barkov, near side, Huberdeau. To the high slot, Huberdeau off to the far side of the circle, and front tip, they score! The Panthers win it in overtime!
Matheson.
As Mike Matheson got in there and just put his stick on the ice, he beats DeSmith, and the Panthers have won it 3-2.
Just redirecting it in for the Florida Panthers, a massive victory in overtime as the Panthers in that 3-on-3 period were up against it at varying points and then on the attack, had a couple of breakaway chances, but it was a great evening at the BB&T Center, Doug, and the Panthers not only have the benefit of winning a couple of games here, but beat the team in Pittsburgh that they are chasing for the final playoff spot. Obviously, you have a lot more winning to do before that's even a consideration, but anytime you win and they drop points, it's a big result for the Panthers.
It was a big win for the Panthers over Pittsburgh. And just a couple of notes on that one. Of course, Mike Matheson, a big game, a multi-point game capped off by the game winner there. Roberto Luongo with his 482nd career win in net. So now just two wins behind third place Ed Belfour on the all-time goaltending win. Also now 1,028 games played for Luongo, and he is just one behind Patrick Waugh for second on the all-time games played list for goaltenders in NHL history. So Roberto Luongo with that win the other night against the Pittsburgh Penguins continuing to climb some all-time charts. You look back at those last few games as well, a chance for Riley Sheahan and Derek Brassard to really make their mark on the Panthers lineup, and we've seen them play in a number of different situations. We've seen them play with some different teammates out there, really fitting in nicely, bringing a lot to this Panthers group as, again, newcomers to the Panthers lineup, but veteran guys bringing a good calming presence to the group. I want to go back to earlier in the week. Remember when Alexander Barkov scored 12 seconds into that game against Vegas? That was the fourth fastest goal to start a game for a Panther in Panthers history, and the fastest goal to start a game, Alexander Barkov making a little bit of franchise history with that that goal that kicked things off again a week ago when the Panthers had a great start against Vegas, a great start that they were able to turn into a 3-1 victory. That was 1 week ago, but now the focus shifting to this big game tonight. We'll get to talking about that a little bit. Also, want to talk a little bit about the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a win for the Panthers back on Thursday night. Had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Panthers, Bob Bugner, after the team's practice yesterday at the Panthers Ice Den before they hit the road for Washington. Here's Panthers head coach Bob Bugner, his thoughts on the game the other night, a win over Pittsburgh.
Watching a game this morning, again, you have a sort of a different opinion when you watch the game. And I really liked our compete. I said that last night, and you know, just watching the game tape this morning confirms that. I think that we got in and won a lot of puck battles. We were there first, puck races, things like that. And I liked our shot mentality in the offensive zone. I think that we spent some time down there. And we simplified our game. We were better on the forecheck. All the little areas I thought we were better in.
You talked about before the game that the importance of that desperation, and you saw the desperation from Pittsburgh, and it seemed like you guys were able to match and one-up that. Did you feel that way too?
Yeah, I think so. I think our start was strong again. I really liked how we responded after they tied the game up. We didn't sit back, and you know, we didn't lose our composure. We just kept moving forward. You know, we said it's going to be a 60-minute game. It was, obviously. Then it went to extra time, and I thought we were the better team in overtime. We had three or four chances, and we finally got the goal we needed. But sometimes it takes, you know, more than 60 minutes, and that was the case last night.
And a few game sample size with the new guys in the lineup, Shea and Brassard. You've seen them now in just about every situation that that you can use them in. How have you seen them fit in?
I really, you know, I still twisting around a little bit on Brassard, what line he's better on, and this and that. I'm going to try him with Barkey tomorrow. I think that'll be a good setup for him. But you can see, I mean, the way he makes plays, and he doesn't panic under pressure. He makes those veteran plays that you need. And I think the same thing with Riley. I mean, he's been great, whether we use him on a penalty kill or that third line center. Sometimes we moved him up a left wing and spots during the game. So he's a versatile guy, and you know, he brings a good leadership to the dressing room as well.
And just looking at Washington, it's been a while since you've seen them, but what sticks out with the matchup to start this back-to-back?
Yeah, it has been a while. And, you know, I sort of throw that game away early in the season because, you know, so many things have changed and personnel and stuff like that. So I'm really concentrated on watching their last couple games. And obviously things don't change there. Obviously they got some scoring and they got some offense, you know, and they've been struggling a little bit as of late. And I think we just got to, you know, maintain our game and take the same game we had last night at home and with a little bit of road mentality and simplify and just play a simple game there. You can't get fancy against those guys because they can make you pay.
Coach Bob Bugner right there talking a bit about tonight's matchup against the Washington Capitals. And the Panthers and the Capitals played way back on October 19th. That was a game the Panthers did win in Washington. So that was a big win for the Panthers early in the season. But again, based on what Bob Bugner said right there, lots changed for each of the two teams since then. But the Panthers do play the Capitals tough, and they have over the last few seasons. And this is a big start to a big back-to-back tonight, Chris. The Panthers will be, of course, in Washington tonight to take on the defending Stanley Cup champions. 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 pregame. Then tomorrow, Panthers right back home for their fourth and final regular season matchup against their cross-state rivals, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Panthers tonight taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion, tomorrow night taking on the team with the top record currently in the National Hockey League, and two teams the Panthers always play tough. It all starts tonight against Alex Ovechkin and company here in the district.
Bit of an up and down year when you look at this Washington team. It started the season, kind of had a little bit of that Stanley Cup hangover, then middle of the season get absolutely turned around and nailed on. But of late, it's actually been a bit of a weaker run. They lost 8 out of 9 over a stretch of play, and also in and around that same period, 11 out of 15. Now, they've won their last two, but Washington have kind of been a team that's been up and down and have really kind of, I don't want to say struggle because they're in the playoff positions, they're pretty comfortably there, but have not had that level of consistency that maybe you might expect from a defending champion.
Yeah, the Washington Capitals, you said it right there. They didn't get the start to the season they were looking for, but they were able to rebound, and their record they currently have at 30-18-6 shows that they were able to get on a nice run there after their after the start that they had, but they're not getting the results they'd want either. So the Panthers, even though the Capitals coming off a couple two straight wins, as you mentioned, this is the Panthers catching Washington at perhaps a good time here tonight. So it's the 30-18-6 Washington Capitals, the host team tonight. Panthers coming in 22-22-8 into tonight. Bogner said, you know, things don't change when you take on the Washington Capitals, though. You got to have everybody going, and you know, obviously a tough test anytime you go into Washington with the offensive weapons that they have. You look at the guys that you expect to be having good years, they are having good years. Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, you know, this is a team that Evgeny Kuznetsov, another guy close to a point a game. So this is a Washington team that their big guns are producing the way that you'd expect, and of course tonight going up against them, being the road team for the Panthers, certainly going to take everybody going. They've played Washington tough, and if you can get a win tonight, that would certainly give you some good momentum going through the weekend, because tomorrow night, things don't get any easier against the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though the Panthers will be home tomorrow night, and both teams will actually be traveling leading up to tomorrow's game, the Lightning home tonight as well. So both teams playing tonight, they'll play tomorrow, but Panthers a big back-to-back, Washington tonight, Tampa Bay tomorrow, and then as we said, back to the BB&T Center Tuesday as well against the Dallas Stars, Thursday against the Calgary Flames, both those games 7 o'clock. So big week shaping up here, and the Panthers taking on some other teams as well coming up in the next week. So tonight's game starts up a big week. Panthers coming off a good win, looking to keep it going against the Washington Capitals tonight. And folks, just a reminder, you can learn to play hockey with the Florida Panthers. First-time hockey players ages 5 to 9 have the opportunity to learn to play hockey for just $175. Receive a free full set of ice hockey gear with their 6 weeks of on-ice training. Go to floridapanthers.com/learn-to-play for more information and how to sign up. But Chris, we've got a ton to talk about because the Panthers have some big games coming up this weekend. And talk about that is exactly what we are going to do.
Yes, indeed. We have Henrik Borgstrom coming up next, along with Jamison Olive. And that is all related to the Florida Panthers podcast, Territory Talk, which you co-host with Jamison Olive. Olive will join us on the phone, and Henrik Borgstrom join you guys on the podcast. That's all coming up next here on the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
This is the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Chris Whittingham and Doug Plagans looking back on the week that was and taking a look ahead to the week that will be for the Florida Panthers. A couple of victories in the week over Vegas and Pittsburgh, and then dropping points on Tuesday night against the St. Louis Blues. Now, we'll talk to Doug Plagans and Jamison Olive here in just a moment. But first, I want to hear a little clip from their podcast. Check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is Territory Talk, covering the Florida Panthers, just as we do here on this show. And this week, they had the chance to catch up with Florida Panthers forward Henrik Borgstrom.
I want to create more offense, and you know, I've been trying to focus on defense a lot, and that's probably the thing I'm trying to work on next.
You talked about focusing on the defense. I looked this up yesterday, and if I jinx this, I'm really sorry. But you, dating back to last season and this season, you haven't taken a penalty yet.
Yeah.
And you're very active with your stick. It's not like you're avoiding anything. I mean, you're aggressive out there. You have a lot of takeaways. Are you aware of that? And just how proud are you of knowing that you are out there? Like I said, your stick's involved in everything, but you're not, you know, taking a hook, taking a slash, taking a trip.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm if you could say I'm really proud of that, but of course it's nice not to get penalties, and you know, just the feeling when you're in the box and you're kind of scared that the other team is going to score. But yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to like make smart plays, like not, and like of course there's going to be situations where you have to take a penalty if a guy has an open net, like you just have to take his feet out or something like that, you know. But
you're gonna make it count when it's time to
actually take one. Luckily, yeah. by now, I haven't really had chances to do those. So, yeah, still zero on the penalty sheet.
And look back at the time. You mentioned your time in college. When you look back at the couple of years in Denver, are you able to draw back still on those experiences? How important were those 2 years, I guess, now when you're able to look back at them? Because in those 2 years, you accomplished just about everything you can in two seasons, being, you know, winning a national title, being a runner-up in your conference's Rookie of the Year and your conference's Player of the
Year.
Hobie Baker finalist. So you jammed about as much into those 2 years as you possibly could. How important, when you look back at that time, was that time to you now?
Oh, it's, of course, it's something, like, really nice to, like, think about right now, but it doesn't really, like, help me. You know? I mean, the game is different and, you know, we got a lot of good players up here, so like the role is like a little bit different too. So like for me right now, it's just about like it's about learning and trying to get that confidence to you know, try and do the same stuff I did in college. But you know, at the same time, you don't wanna mess anything up, and you know, that's why I feel like it's really important to be like responsible. Especially when you get up and like you don't want to lose your spot, like you gotta work for it and like not trying to risk like or take too many like unnecessary risks. So you know, of course it's nice to like sometimes when I still see like some of my like old highlight reel goals, it's nice to like kind of like remember all the stuff I did there and what we accomplished as a team. But you know, there's just memories now.
And Henrik Borgstrom there on the Territory Talk podcast, and Doug Plagans, you've had the opportunity to catch up with Henrik, and obviously he's been a player that Panther fans have been really looking forward to seeing this year. What did you make of talking to him, and what do you make of the work that he's done this year?
Well, he's been fantastic, and you know, with Henrik Borgstrom, first round pick back in 2016, and you know about the offensive ability that he brings in, but you know, Henrik Borgstrom, as you heard it right there, he's really focusing in on the defensive side of the game, and you know, really just trying to really work on that 200-foot game that's so important in the National Hockey League. The other thing about Henrik Borgstrom, and I know Jameson Olive will talk about this too, and we have him on shortly. You know, we had him on Territory Talk this week. If you haven't listened to Territory Talk, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Panthers. And that was just a cut from this week's episode with Henrik Borgstrom. And Jameson and I talked to Henrik Borgstrom for pretty close to 20 minutes. But he's just a great guy to talk to, just an engaging guy. And you know, just has some great thoughts on, you know, on the game and everything. And it was just really fun to sit down and chat with him. And he's a guy that has a huge future in the National Hockey League, and just a huge part of what the Panthers have going for the next several years. It's going to be great to see him continue to develop and broaden his game. But you see that offensive ability. They don't call him the artist out there for nothing, because he can he can really make some plays, and just still so early in his NHL time. But just a great conversation and a great guy to chat with, and he's going to be again a really fun player and a fun guy to be around for a long time in the future.
And again, you can check out the podcast Territory Talk on wherever you get your podcasts. Now it is time to join your co-host on that podcast, Doug, and that is Jameson Olive, who's kind enough to join us by phone. Jameson, appreciate the time.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, doing well. So what did you make of that conversation with Borgstrom? You got a goal in the week against the St. Louis Blues, and in general, what he's brought into the team since his introduction from the AHL.
He's been impressive. I mean, he started the season in the AHL, you know, honed his game a little bit down there, got used to things, got used to the pro game a bit. And ever since he came up, he hasn't really, you know, been unleashing that. Like Doug said, he's called the artist. He hasn't really been, you know, like going 100% with that yet. He's been holding back a bit, like he told us in the podcast. You know, he's really focusing on his defense. He doesn't want to make mistakes. And he's been fantastic in that area. He hasn't taken a penalty all season. He's been really aggressive with his stick checks in the defensive end, kind of like a mini Barkov in some ways. It's just been succeeding a lot in that area. So, you know, once he masters that area, once he gets really comfortable there, I think that's when you're going to see the offensive game really explode for him and kind of get back to, you know, pulling off some of those moves like he pulled at the University of Denver that, you know, got fans so excited with all the highlight reels and all the YouTube clips and things like that. So, super young guy. I mean, this is already the most games he's ever played in his career in a single season. And the road ahead, like Doug said, is going to be so bright for him, and it's going to be here for a long time.
And Jameson, we talked a lot there to Henrik Borgstrom. I know you also asked Bob Bugner and had a chance to talk to one of the other young Panthers who's been doing a great job lately, Josh Brown, yesterday. Just what are you thinking from his game? What did you guys talk about yesterday? And I know that Josh Brown's a guy, as you talked about Bugner about yesterday, I know has a lot of familiarity with the Panthers coaching staff even before his time as a pro.
Yeah, well, Bob brought up something that is pretty unique that you don't see too often, but when it happens, you kind of just say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And that's he said Josh Brown's a guy that's probably better in the NHL than he is in the AHL, which you say at first, you know, that doesn't make sense. But when you think about it, when you think about the type of game Josh Brown plays where, you know, he's a system guy, he's a stay-at-home defenseman, he's a penalty killer, he really can be as good as the system and the players around him. And they brought him up here. They put him on that bottom defensive pairing as a shutdown guy. They put him on the penalty kill. And he's been excelling in both areas. And that's kind of just his entire game. He doesn't need to put up offensive numbers. Doesn't need to score goals. You just put him out there and he shuts the other team down. I mean, he's been out there for about 80 minutes almost at 5-on-5, and he's only been on the ice for one goal against. He throws a lot of hits. He blocks shots. And he's been great on the PK. You saw the other night against Pittsburgh. He got put out there for the 5-on-3 PK and, you know, limited the Penguins to one shot. So he's great. 25 years old, a late bloomer, you know, former sixth-round pick back in 2013, a guy that's spent quite a bit of time in the minors. He's in the East Coast League for a while, too. You know, he's been as far away from the NHL as you can get, and now he's already back in the NHL. So for him, it's another guy where Bob Bugner's, you know, coached against him in juniors for a bit. Panthers assistant coach Paul McFarland coached him when he was the captain of Oshawa back in the day. So the Panthers know exactly what they have in Josh Brown. They've seen him for a while. They see him develop, and he's a guy I know they like a lot. And now that he's up there, it's kind of just up to him to stay. And if he keeps playing like this, I see no reason why he can't, because at the beginning of the season, the Panthers, Bob Bugner said, you know, we need heavy guys, we need some defensive guys, and this is a guy that fills that role.
And another guys, or I guess another a couple of guys who are also new to the Panthers came over in a trade, not coming up from the American Hockey League. Derek Brassard, Riley Sheahan, of course. And now that you've had a few games, Jameson, to really get a glimpse of these guys, you've seen them play a lot of different situations. Bob Bugner's used them both in a lot of different situations. They both can take face-offs. They both can play that center ice position. They both can play the wing. And they bring, you know, just a real calming presence, a real veteran presence to the group. What have you seen from these two, and what have you thought about their transition as they work their ways into the lineup and become acclimated to their new teammate?
Well, like you said, the calming presence, the experience, I think that's both, you know, underrated, something you really can't see. It was tough. You know, the Panthers lost Jamie McGinn. They lost Derek McKenzie at the beginning of the season. And even though those guys didn't have letters on their chests anymore, you do need those older guys. You do need those veterans in the locker room. So I think the Panthers missed that a bit this season. To have these guys now as the Panthers kind of go for this late season desperate playoff push, I think it's going to help a lot. And just in terms of play, Derek Brassard, I mean, he's getting bumped up to the top line here tonight with Alexander Barkov. I mean, talk about an opportunity right there for him. This is a guy that, you know, didn't get a fair shake in Pittsburgh, and that's why he was so excited to come here to the Panthers, because now look at him. He's on the top line. He's got a chance to succeed. So for him, he's already got a couple points here, a couple assists. He makes things happen out there in offense. He's always putting pucks on net. He's making his teammates better. You know, he's pretty good on the forecheck. So for him, he's a guy that's, you know, scored, you know, 50-plus points in this league. So he's proven it before, and he's also a proven playoff performer. So if the Panthers do end up getting there, I think he'd be a big part there as well. But Riley Sheahan, he's what you want out of a bottom-six center. He's heavy. He wins faceoffs. He's done a pretty good job when he was playing with Henrik Borgstrom, helping him out. Now he's the 3C here. So for the Panthers, I think they've gotten exactly what they wanted out of both guys. And, you know, like I said, whether these guys contribute to an exciting playoff push or whether the Panthers, you know, can't get those wins they need and they get traded for assets. I mean, it was a great trade for the Panthers, and those guys have a ton of value no matter how you look at it.
We're joined by Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com, again, co-host the Territory Talk podcast with Doug Plagans. Why don't we take a look at the matchup tonight? By the way, that game is on television locally. You can hear the game across the Florida Panthers radio network, but also for our listeners outside of South Florida, the game is on ESPN Plus as well, so an opportunity to catch the Panthers game on a more national basis. But Jameson, what do you make of the matchup looking ahead to the Washington game this evening?
It's a unique matchup because the Capitals last month were really, really on a downturn. They had a terrible month, probably one of their worst months in recent memory. And now coming here into February, they won 3 of 4. It seems like they're finding the footing a little bit. So it's kind of interesting to see what Capitals team the Panthers do see tonight. But regardless, this is usually a high-scoring game when the Panthers play the Caps. I mean, we saw a 6-5 shootout win for the Panthers back in October against these guys. And they have a ton of weapons. I mean, you have Alex Ovechkin, obviously we know what he can do. Evgeny Kuznetsov, Nicholas Backstrom. So for the Panthers, it's going to be a game where they're probably going to have to score, you know, 2-3 goals, which is something they haven't done a ton lately. So the offense has to wake up tonight. They need to get that balanced scoring. That's kind of why Bob Booner switched up the lines a bit here. They're going into this matchup with a pretty depth attack. You know, all four lines to see ample time in this game tonight. And, you know, as for the Panthers, we've seen it pretty much every game. The power play is probably going to need to chip in at least one goal and then, you know, see where they stand after 60 minutes.
And that is Jamison Olive. Check him out, FloridaPanthers.com, and on Twitter, @JamisonCoop. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All right, Doug, lots to get to. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben Raby, who is of the Washington Capitals Radio Network.
Yes, we will. The Panthers and the Capitals is going to be tonight, 7 o'clock face-off across the Radio Network, and then tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning at the BB&T Center. So we hope to see you back at the BB&T Center tomorrow night. Panthers with some big home games coming up. Of course, they will be home against the Dallas Stars Tuesday at 7, and then Thursday at 7. Calgary comes in a week from tomorrow at 7. It's going to be the Montreal Canadiens building. So that's what lies ahead for the Panthers, 954-835-POCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. And both calling all college students, text student 64600 to opt into the Panthers student rush program for tomorrow's game against Tampa. Each ticket $20 includes parking as well as access to the exclusive rooftop rush space. For more information, go to FloridaPanthers.com.
And that is coming up this weekend, home games against Tampa on tomorrow night. You have Dallas on Tuesday night, Calgary Thursday night, and then Montreal the following Sunday. So plenty of opportunity to catch the Panthers at the BB&T Center. But tonight is their lone game away from home in a period of about 3 weeks. Actually, more than that. It's actually a period of about a month. And that is tonight in the nation's capital against Washington, D.C. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben Raby of the Washington Capitals Radio Network on the Florida Panthers Insider Show.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
This is indeed the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Chris Whittingham and Doug Plagans taking you through the week that was and looking ahead to the week that will be in Florida Panthers hockey. A couple of victories in the week. But tonight, Doug, we have the Florida Panthers away from home taking on the Washington Capitals.
Panthers and Washington tonight at 7:30. Panthers preview across the Radio Network, so don't miss that. And, folks, the Panthers back home after this one beginning tomorrow at 6 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you can join the Panthers as they celebrate this 25th anniversary season. Lots of exciting promotions at the BB&T Center, like Flashback Fridays, Legacy Saturdays, $5 Beer Thursdays, backed by popular demand. For more information on tickets, go to FloridaPanthers.com or 954-835-POCK. So we hope to see you out at BB&T Center often coming up as the Panthers, again, playing this one road game in the middle of a lot of home games tonight. And then it's back to the BB&T Center for what is always an exciting matchup tomorrow night when the Panthers take on Tampa Bay at 6. But, Chris, first things first, tonight the Panthers and the Capitals for the second time this season.
Yeah, I want to dig into this matchup a little more, and joining us to do so is Ben Raby of the Washington Capitals Radio Network. Ben, appreciate the time.
Yeah, good to be with you. Looking forward to it tonight.
Yeah, so I wanted to start by asking you about Alexander Ovechkin. I imagine this is not a subject that you don't have very many thoughts on. So you look at his scoring record this year, top of the NHL with 37 goals. I was going through the history, sort of the last few years of the scoring charts, and he's basically led the league every year except for 16-17. In 2012-13, 13-14, 14-15, 15-16, 17-18, and now this year. Just such a consistent goal scorer for the Washington Capitals. Just how reliable is that for the team, and how much does that center this Washington Capitals team?
Yeah, huge. And, you know, it's interesting, Chris, because you referenced going back 2 years ago, and I put this in air quotes, he had only 32 goals in that 16-17 season you touched on. And to be honest, I thought that was going to be the new normal. There's nothing wrong with scoring 32 goals a season. It's a little bit below what we've become accustomed to with Ovechkin, but I figured he's into his 30s, back nine of his career. I figured between 25 and 35 goals would become the new normal for Alex Ovechkin, would be for others on the team to kind of pick up the slack. And then he comes back last year, 49 goals in the regular season, goes on to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, of course, as playoff MVP, and no sign of any Stanley Cup hangover or anything like that for Ovechkin this year at age 33 in his 14th season now, to continue doing what he's doing, to score at the pace that he's scoring. Very, very remarkable. And to be honest, really the most consistent. It's not just the volume of goals he has there, but not too many lulls, not too many drops in his game at all this year as well. Just very, very consistent. And really to be doing it at 33 in his 14th season, very, very impressive.
And Ben, the Capitals come in tonight 30-18-6. Just looking at some of the notes here, they scored at least three in six of their last seven. So this is a team that's scoring some goals. They've won a couple in a row. But you hit on Ovechkin, but it looks like obviously a lot of other contributions across the board. What's been some of the other keys offensively for Washington?
Well, we've been waiting to see a little bit of an in-season breakthrough, if you will, from Evgeny Kuznetsov, the leading scorer in the playoffs last year, their number one center for much of the year. He alternates with Nick Backstrom in that one center, two center positions. But Evgeny Kuznetsov, for the most part, it's been a little bit below expectations this year. That being said, since they returned from the All-Star break, since they returned from the bye week, they've won three out of four here on this six-game homestand. Kuznetsov's been a big reason why. Three goals, 7 points in the last four games. A couple of game winners in there. Had the OT winner on Thursday night and a win over Colorado. So the thought here is that as Evgeny Kuznetsov goes, so goes the team. Had a long losing streak going into the All-Star break, seven in a row. Evgeny Kuznetsov was struggling during that stretch. But again, really since they've come back from the break, he's been very good. He's been arguably their best forward since returning from the break, and certainly someone to keep an eye on tonight in number 92.
And John Carlson, always another guy to keep an eye on. And not only is he producing at about a point a game pace, but he's chewing up so many minutes for Todd Reardon's team. And this is the guy who obviously was, he's a big storyline late last season, such a big part of the Capitals' playoff run last year as well. But it looks like he's been just as important this year to the Capitals' attack as he has been the last few years.
Yeah, I think under the radar maybe a little bit from a national perspective. You think of the top defensemen in the league. You think of the top offensive-minded defensemen. It's usually the same usual suspects, Carlson, Brent Burns. You could throw Drew Doughty and Victor Hedman in the top defenseman conversation usually. And John Carlson, that the Capitals have been saying for years, they feel, in their opinion, management, coaches, et cetera, that John Carlson has the potential to enter that elite category. Finally rewarded this year for the first time with his first All-Star nod, but it's also year one for Carlson of an 8-year contract extension. That was a big priority last year shortly after they won the Stanley Cup. He was slated to become an unrestricted free agent. A couple of days later, they locked him up to an 8-year deal, so obviously, they have very very high thoughts on John Carlson, and granted, in year one of an 8-year deal, he's living up to it so far, yeah, to your point. Big minutes and, certainly a key cog back there, power play, penalty kill, not unlike most other number one defensemen. He handles a very heavy workload.
And it looks like you mentioned power play and penalty kill from his perspective, but it looks like those two aspects have also been a key here on this recent little four-game run that you've talked about. Special teams seem to be sharpening up for Washington on both sides.
Yeah, and the penalty kill's been an issue, though, big picture for most of the year. It's something they're obviously trying to clean up, but I know with the Panthers coming to town, a very strong power play, particularly over the past few months, really, I guess, the majority of the season for the Florida Panthers. So something I know the Capitals will be keeping an eye on tonight, not only the penalty kill, Doug, but just staying out of the penalty box. It's the old cliche, you got to stay out of the box. But for the Capitals especially, no team has taken more minor penalties this year than the Washington Capitals. They've had a lot of practice on the penalty kill, you could say, for the course of the year, but certainly against a power play like Florida's tonight, maybe in their best interest to keep tabs on that as far as staying out of the box tonight, because really that has, that kidding aside, been a little bit of a red flag this year, just the volume, the number of penalties they've taken.
To what do you attribute, we're joined by Ben Raby here, the Washington Capitals Radio Network, to what do you attribute kind of the up and downs of this season? Obviously, you're coming off of winning the Stanley Cup, maybe starting well, wasn't always going to be on the cards, and it's such a slog to get through that Stanley Cup run, but then, obviously, just an incredible period. I think it's 16 wins out of 19, and then an 8 out of 9 losses run. To what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, a couple of things real quick. Number one, certainly, as noted, the penalty trouble has cost them quite a bit this year. The penalty kill, well, it's been trending in the right direction over the last little bit just since the All-Star break. For the most part this year, the penalty kill has been in the bottom third, ranking in sort of that 24th, 25th overall in the league. So that's certainly been an area that when it's not been going well, has certainly let them down in that regard. And something else, you touch on it, they won 16 out of 19 over a stretch November-December. Nobody likes to point to the old Stanley Cup hangover built-in excuse. It's a, what we call a first-world hockey problem. 30 other teams would sign up for this. You have the deep postseason run. You have the short offseason. You play a lot of games. You play a lot of games with tremendous intensity. At some point, it could mentally catch up to you. It could physically catch up to you. I really believe in January, where they lost 7 straight and at one point 9 of 11, they were a tired bunch. That All-Star break, that bye week, it couldn't come soon enough for them. Really what they needed was they probably could have used it about 3 weeks before it eventually came. But that being said, as noted, they've been very refreshed since they've come out of the break. We'll see if they could sustain this level for the stretch run here. But a lot of fatigue, I think, crept into their game, particularly in January. And real quick, one other thing to note is a reference of Evgeny Kuznetsov, really since the break, has been playing much better. A guy they're really relying on. You want somebody behind Alex Ovechkin to really do some of the heavy lifting and pick up the slack. They needed a whole lot more out of him, really, the first half of the season, and they didn't get it. So, again, we'll see if this is a storyline that now continues, because at least 4 games since the break, he's been playing much, much more like himself.
We got less than a minute here, Ben, but I just wanted to ask how winning the Stanley Cup has changed the Washington Capitals organization.
I don't know that it's changed the organization necessarily. I think it's changed sort of the narrative in the city, and I think the fan base carrying themselves maybe with a little bit more of a swagger. I think maybe we'll start to see those benefits as far as the team is concerned, maybe come playoff time. I think in past postseasons, they'd run into Pittsburgh year after year, and you could kind of see that they were aware of their postseason shortcomings, and maybe come postseason time now, we'll see the Capitals with that strong belief, knowing that they've been there, they've done it before. But I'll say so far in the regular season, haven't necessarily seen a whole lot of difference from the team, just maybe more the noise around the team, if you will, that is noticeably different so far this season.
There is no looming series with Pittsburgh that you don't feel that confidence about, that those demons have been exercised. Ben
exactly.
Raby, appreciate the time, and enjoy the game this evening.
Yeah, appreciate it. We'll see you later, Doug. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Ben Raby of the Washington Capitals Radio Network, and that'll just about do it for this edition of the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Again, Panthers in the Capitals tonight across the radio network. You've been listening to the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.